dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday, the 17th of November. We're here for about the next hour and 20 minutes because it is Bo Pelini press conference day. So we will hear from the coach and his weekly press conference. We'll hear that coming up usually around 11, sometime between 11:30, 11:40 is when he comes up to the podium. So we'll be hearing from the coach at that time. Also, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star will join us momentarily from Lincoln, talk about where the Huskers are, where they might be going bowling, and Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. That's among the things that we're talking about today. There's no way we could cover everything from the weekend yesterday, but we did get to Daddy's ineptitude when it came to the NFL, but Daddy not near as inept as the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, you had to wonder at times last night if Sean Watson was calling the offensive plays because it looked bad. It was one of those deals that it starts off, first and 10, let's run the ball. Second and 10, let's run the ball. Oh, it's third and 8. I guess we'll throw the ball now. Well, everybody knows you're going to throw the ball there. Boss, the Ravens are going to send some pressure at you. There's a secret. The Ravens are going to come with some pressure on third and 8.
Ray Lewis. It amazes me when Ray Lewis is unblocked. I didn't get to see the whole game last night because we were coming back from our high school contest, but unblocked. Ray Lewis, unblocked. Not even somebody. I mean, it's not like he blew past the running back trying to block him, picking up a blitz. Unblocked. Nobody accounted for Ray Lewis, at least two times that I saw last night.
I was just going to say, might want to count for that guy.
52, he's coming. All right? He's going to be coming in there a lot. You might want to put a hand to the face and get the 15-yard penalty so he's not coming so strong the next time. I don't know. But that's what went on Monday Night Football. We'll get to your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Phone number 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Daddy, you're all worried. You're worried because, again, you're just not confident in your Husker football team. You're worried that if things continue the way they are going, that Nebraska may have to face a not happy University of Southern California football team in a Holiday Bowl, which would not be appeasing to your appetite?
Well, it would be appeasing from a standpoint of two-story programs. It would not be because I think that we would be overmatched a little bit.
They can't score on Arizona State. The more I thought about this, the more I would like to play Southern Cal. Our defense, great. Their offense, not. I think maybe we would have a chance. But according to everybody that we're reading, including the fine folks at the Lincoln Journal-Star, it doesn't look like that's going to be what happens because right now Southern Cal and Cal are tied for fifth in the Pac-10. If Nebraska would go to the Holiday Bowl, and that's by winning the Big 12 North, Texas going to the BCS, Oklahoma State going to the Cotton, then it would look like Nebraska would go to the Holiday Bowl. They haven't been there since 98, so that makes sense. Right now, the front runners to fill the Pac-10 spot, Oregon State, Stanford, Arizona.
Where does fifth in the Pac-10 go? Boise? The Humanitarian Bowl?
They're going to go beat up on some eighth-place SEC team. Well, we'll find out more about that and all that is Huskers as we head to Lincoln. Steve Sipple, the beat writer for the Nebraska football team for the Lincoln Journal-Star, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sip, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's always great to have you. You know, it's been a couple days. Everything going okay?
Oh, yeah. As far as I can tell, it's going all right.
All right. You happy? Everything's good?
Yeah, I am happy. Thanksgiving's almost here. I like this time. I just like this time of year.
All right, Sip, a little football talk. Before we even jump into it, I just want to know where you right now, and I think we've asked you this almost every time that we've had you on, Where do you think the Nebraska football program is as we start the press conference and talk today with a chance to win the Big 12 North, which was the goal at the beginning of the year on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I think the easiest answer to that would be they are ahead of schedule. I think a lot of folks, probably including myself, figured next year would be the year for Nebraska. So here they are, probably on the verge of winning the North. They got to take care of business. But listen, if they win the North with a 6-2 record, and the next best team is 4-4. I would say that Nebraska won that thing going away. And I'd say that's pretty impressive. And it shows that Nebraska is, you know, they're the best team in a menagerie of bad teams. Or not bad teams, but kind of mediocre teams. But still, you know, they would be head and shoulders above that. And that's step one, is conquering that North Division on a regular basis. And I think if they do it this year, they'll have a, you know, I think they'll have a better chance to do it next year. And I think that's a good sign.
Sip, you go back to last week, looks like the offense is at least headed in the right direction. Some different things happened out there. Just your overall thoughts on how far they've came in, well, relatively 1 week.
Well, yeah, I almost kind of look at it as a two-week thing because I thought they found some stuff against Oklahoma, particularly from the second quarter on, using that what they call big personnel with a fullback and an I-back and two tight ends, which seems to have kind of breathed life into this thing. Now, that thing wouldn't work if it weren't for a healthy Roy Helu. I think that's the key right there, getting Roy back. They were counting on Roy Helu this year, and you saw what happened when he was dinged up. You saw what happened in those three games, you know, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor, where he wasn't available. Everything kind of, they were lost, I thought, kind of without him. And then coupled with the fact that Burkhead was out, I thought Nebraska kind of lost its way a little bit. But, you know, on the other hand, I think this going to this different, you know, the offense evolving into, you know, you know, what they call the 22, that 22 set makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, I think that's a big part of why they are where they are right now.
Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's press conference day in Lincoln. Sip, it seems like every week something crazy happens in the Big 12, but this year it's more than just one game. We're talking Husker football every day on this show, obviously. I'm still having a hard time grasping if the Big 12 is a good conference, a great conference, a bad conference. I mean, I don't like the word parity because it's not like the football games are really good football games like we saw last year. How good is this football team right now?
How good is the league or the team?
Well, how good is, I guess it's kind of hand in hand. How good is Nebraska? Because it's hard to tell when Kansas has the lead in the fourth quarter. We lose to Iowa State. We beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma scores 3 on us. They score 65 on A&M. I'm getting a hard time. I know the defense is good. Tony mentions the offense coming around, but without 2 15-yard penalties, we may lose that game on Saturday. And we've talked about it a lot. When Roy Helu is healthy and Niles Paul catches the ball, that sure helps a lot.
First of all, Doug, don't torture yourself trying to think about this stuff too much. You can overthink it. I think don't do that. Just enjoy it.
Well, that's usually a problem for one of us on this show. Overthinking.
Now listen. And the parity thing is, I would never ignore that right now because I think that's what this college football is all about right now. Not so much, but I got to make a distinction. I think it's parity in the BCS league. I don't know that it's filtered much past that, but in the BCS leagues, my God, it's unbelievable to me how even it is and how it's just becomes your season becomes very much a week to week proposition. Everybody's in that boat. I mean, virtually everybody. Maybe you'd say the top three, maybe not as much. But beyond those top three teams, everybody's in it. Where it is literally a week-to-week proposition. And you know what it becomes to me? What really, I'm rambling here, but I want to make one last thought. I think that the premium now is on coaching because the personnel is evened out so much that you better have your team prepared from an emotional standpoint, and, you know, a physical standpoint and a tactical standpoint. And those are the teams that will keep advancing. If you have a couple down weeks like Kansas, it can spin out of control really fast. But is Kansas a bad team? No, but they're about to lose six in a row because it spun out of control on it.
Sip, in any way in your mind, we drop either one of the last two games?
Well, yeah, there's definitely ways. I mean, do I think I'll lose to Kansas State? No, but here's the thing about Kansas State is they run the ball well and they stop the run pretty well. You know, they're good in those two areas. And when you're good in those two areas, you can go on the road and do some things. They'll play ball control well. Bill Snyder teams don't hurt themselves, and this Kansas State team really hasn't hurt itself that much. They're a very ordinary team talent-wise. There's no question about that. But they do have a big-time running back. Well, not a big-time, but he's a good, big, strong running back and a good guy and a very good player on the perimeter. So that's what they do on offense. It's pretty simple. They don't have much of a quarterback. But they'll boom that running back at you, and they'll try to create some things on the perimeter with Brandon Banks. And then they play solid, pretty hard-nosed defense and don't make a lot of mistakes on defense and rely a lot on their safeties and a very good corner in Joshua Moore. So, yeah, they can do some things. And Colorado, you know, you just don't know. You got to go on the road, and if Nebraska beats Kansas State like we all think, how are they going to get up for that game? And then the thing to watch on Colorado is they're not very good, but Tyler Hansen's playing pretty well. And they got a receiver coming now. That Marcus Semus is kind of now becoming a very good complement to Scotty McKnight, and that duo makes them a little dangerous on offense.
Steve Sipple joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Tuesday edition. Sip, a little bit concerned that Kansas was able to run the ball as effective as they were? And as you mentioned, K-State can run the ball. Is that what we should be watching this Saturday?
Yeah, that's a great point. I characterize that as kind of a small red flag that went up, like one of those flags on a construction site that are little, but, you know, they're on like a wire and, you know, some guy shoved it in the ground and you can barely see it, but it's there. That's what that kind of red flag I see is, Tobin Oprim running right at Nebraska. That's exactly what I thought, Daddy, or Doug and Daddy, is that if he can do that, then Daniel Thomas might have a little success. So I would guarantee you that that's something Nebraska's looking at this week, is how to kind of shore up those runs that come right at you.
Sip, what do you make out of lack of pressure last week by the four down linemen on defense? We haven't had a problem with that all year. Were they tired from the 87 plays with Oklahoma?
I don't worry about that part because the reason that was occurring was because of what Reesing was doing on those quarterback draws. So Nebraska had to go to a conservative pass rush just as they did against Virginia Tech with Tyrod Taylor. I thought Reesing was really, well, you saw what I saw. He was really good on those QB draws where he was patient. He'd take that step back and wait for those guys to get upfield and then find a little seam and get through it.
No.
So Sue and Crick, you know, instead of a free pass rush is what they call it, they had to go to a conservative pass rush where they weren't just trying to get upfield. So that part, Anthony, doesn't bother me.
Fair enough.
Anthony.
Not one holding call either. Big 12 officials, if you're listening. Not one on our front four. Are you kidding me?
That's bizarre. But I would say this. I was really impressed by what they did with Sue. That guy, his number 74, I can't remember. Spikes. His name is Spikes.
Yeah, they moved him.
Yeah, he did. He, you know what? That kid might have made himself some money. Because that's on tape now, and people will see that. He did a good job on Sue, as good a job as I've seen.
How do you spell menagerie?
Uh, M- M-E-N-A-G-E-R-I-E. Menagerie.
Daddy likes his words of the day. Hey, Sip, before we let you get out of here, Brian had an article today in a Lincoln Journal Star talking about the bowls, and we...
Yeah.
It's time to start thinking about that. It looks like the Holiday Bowl, for sure, if they win out and lose to Texas. What else is a possibility?
Well, I mean, the Holiday Bowl just sounds like almost a lock to me in that Nebraska might be... I mean, they're at 7 wins right now, and the Holiday Bowl may take a seven win Nebraska team, you know? I mean, that it's looking... I think Nebraska would have to have a complete collapse not to go to the Holiday Bowl. Now, of course, if they beat Texas, they go to the Fiesta Bowl. Now, if Oklahoma State... Now, the other alternatives here, if, you know, say Nebraska does beat Kansas State and Colorado and loses to Texas, you know, it looks like a Holiday Bowl. But if Oklahoma State would beat Oklahoma... You know, and win, beat Colorado, then beat Oklahoma, they might be a, you know, there's an outside chance that they'd be a BCS at-large team, okay? And that would take them out of the Cotton Bowl and maybe put Nebraska into the Cotton Bowl. I think the Cotton Bowl would welcome Nebraska back. But that seems like a long shot. Really, to me, all signs right now point to San Diego. You know, if things go as we think, if they beat Kansas State and Colorado, I'd be shocked, just shocked, if they don't go to the Holiday Bowl.
If by some miracle they make it to the Fiesta Bowl, are we looking at a Cincinnati, I mean, a team that doesn't make the national champion? We're looking like at a Cincinnati, a TCU, or a Boise State, aren't we?
Yep, that's it. Those would be the three teams I think you'd want. It'd be one of those three teams, I'm pretty sure. And, Daddy, I wouldn't worry about USC. I think they've slid past the Holiday Bowl at this point.
You know what? I'm looking this up. It looks like the fifth team in the Pac-10 to me goes to either the Emerald Bowl in San Francisco. What a bunch of losers. Or they go to the Poinsettia Bowl at Qualcomm in San Diego.
I could see USC in the Sun Bowl, too.
Well, there you go. They'll get to do something different. Hey, Sip, I know it's time to go, so we'll let you get out of here. We always appreciate it. And the senior class goes out on a Saturday night. 13 of them, a little bit low, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not a very big number, but it's a good class. And if you look at it, almost all of them, with the exception of really one or two, are playing. I mean, they're guys who play in some form, you know, if it's special teams or if it's, you know, Damakong Su, king of the world. They're all contributing, so that's good to see.
Sip, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. He's off to see what Mr. Sue has to say and what Bo Pelini has to say and all of that good stuff. Let's tell you that we're going to take a break here in just a sec. We've got some emails that we want to get to, a couple that I actually need to proofread before we get on here, because we've got stuff from New York, we've got stuff from Iowa fan, we've got stuff from pseudo Husker fan. It's all coming up, plus Popolini's press conference. We'll take a break, be right back.
Hey, you smell smoke?
Yeah, it's my meat. Schroeder Smoked Foods.
It smells pretty good.
It is good.
Can I have a bite?
No.
Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Pulled pork, smoked beef, and pork loin. Stop in to Schroeder's Smoked Foods and dine on delicious barbecue. Or have Schroeder's Smoked Foods cater your event. Pick it up. Or have us deliver mouth-watering barbecue to your special event. Online at schroedersmokedfoods.com. On First Street, behind the First State Bank in Shelton. Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Where the fire never goes out. Mm-hmm.
ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center is giving you an opportunity to save up to $600 on Resound hearing aids during a special event November 18th and 19th. A representative from Resound will be on hand for demonstrations and free consultations. During this special event, you can save up to $600 on Resound hearing aids. ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, 615 West 39th Street. Call today, 308-865-2277.
Are you suffering with allergy symptoms? If so, you're not alone. Long-term lasting relief is now possible without drugs or allergy shots. BioVeda Wellness Relief Centers feature new state-of-the-art laser and biofeedback technology to access and alleviate chronic symptoms such as sneezing, headaches, skin irritations, digestive issues, and more. Call Wilhelm Chiropractic Clinic today at 402-463-6797 or visit them online at BioVedaWellness.com.
LCL Truck Equipment in Hastings now has a full selection of Doolittle trailers in stock. A leading manufacturer of utility equipment, enclosed and dump trailers, Doolittle Trailers has been producing quality trailers at competitive prices for over 30 years. Their combination of tested materials, proven design, and quality workmanship are what makes Doolittle Trailers stand out against the competition. Haul your cars, motorcycles, and ATVs with the enclosed Cargo Master, an affordable class of work-and-play trailer. To see what standard features and popular options are available, go to LCL Truck Equipment in Hastings or on the web at lcltruckequipment.com.
My name is Ram, and my tank is full. I am fueled by optimism, driven by passion, a can-do spirit in a get-it-done body. I'm less talk and more action. I play to win, and I don't expect a ribbon for participation. I'm built to reward the people who climb behind my wheel every day. I lead by example. I walk the walk. My name is Ram, and I'm giving Tough a smarter name.
This is football champion Michael Strahan. With my busy schedule, I've found quick and easy ways to keep myself healthy. I've learned how to get a full body workout in just 15 minutes and stronger, more resilient skin in less than 15 seconds with Vaseline Men Fast Absorbing Lotion. Log on to StrongerSkin.com to see how I stay healthy and in shape no matter where I am. And enter for a chance to win a trip to Los Angeles for a private session with the personal trainer to the pros, as well as weekly prizes.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See www.StrongerSkin.com for rules.
Sunshine develops across the area through the day today with a high temperature of around 50. Winds will stay to the north-northwest at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Skies remain clear tonight with a low around 22. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 41.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. The GPAC All-Conference football team out, Daddy. There might be a few Hastings Broncos on there.
There would be several.
You know what happens? Their football team has been growing and growing and growing.
Much
and now,
like grow.
Oh, yeah. They're headed to the ship.
1-800-652-3238. Call your local Dynagro Seeds dealer today. Remember how consistent 57 V07 and 57 V38 yielded on farms in 2008?
Yes, I do!
Well, they're doing it again in 09. The pipeline is loaded. There is no rebuilding this year with Dynagro. New hybrids out as well. Whether you're looking for Roundup Ready Corn 2, you're looking for VT Triple, you're looking for Smart Stacks, you're looking for Dynagro. Call your local Dynagro seeds dealer today. Ask them about their early seed reservation program. Commit to an increase of 36 units of corn. A 20% down payment. You receive a 12% cash discount through January 15th, 2010. That's 12% early pay. That's equal to 26.18 annual percentage rate discount. 26.18 APR minus the cost of local operating loan costs you way less than 0% financing that other seed companies are offering. Call your local Dynagro seeds dealer today. Ask them about the new Smart Sacks, which is now available in Dynagro hybrids today.
You know, on the way home from Hayes Center, lovely trip, by the way, yesterday. Just not a good result for our friends from Pleasanton. Although, you know, I kind of like the whole Hayes Center thing. It's really rural. It takes a lot to get there. You're not going through any place that's very big. A
lot of deer.
And then I was going to say, there must have been some Dynagro chopped down in the fields because those deer were out there loving it. It must be good eating, too. Seriously, from Hayes Center to Maywood, and it's not even, that's 30 miles all gravel. But the first 10 miles out of Hayes Center, what do we see, 50 deer? Just standing there. And we've been talking to guys this weekend that don't even know what a deer looks like. They're trying to hunt them, and they're going, okay, fun, man.
Never saw one. Drive out that way, folks.
It was incredible. 12, 15, just stand there in the field. Just like my cousin Vinny.
Turkeys.
Oh, there's little Bambi. Gonna get a little drink of water. Bam!
Turkeys.
Apparently a good weekend from the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Not bad out there for the folks. I mentioned we talked about the GPAC Conference of Football Players of the Year. Ernesto Lacayo has made it on special teams on the first team, but he's not the only one. Jeff Klug has made it, the senior defensive back out of McCook. Also, Mackenzie Hemgee, which had to be like second in voting for defensive player of the year. But I think if you're not on Sioux Falls or if you're not on
Morningside,
you're probably not going to not going to be able to make that. So we will tell you that he is also on there with Pete Botkin, defensive lineman, is also a first-team defensive player on the first-team offense from Hastings College. No surprise that Maurice Mansfield, who's done everything this year, he's listed as a wide receiver. He's actually taken snaps. He's been in the backfield, and so he's done a lot of good things for Hastings College this year. He is first-team offense as well. So congratulations to those Hastings College football players. I thought I missed one here. No, that's all of them. Jeff, McKenzie, Pete, Maurice, and Ernesto on the first team. There are many more that have made second team and honorable mention from Hastings College.
In case you're interested in that Hastings College playoff game, we are efforting Coach Kessinger from the Ottawa Braves to see what he thinks about it. Also, Loper fans out there, Bob Nielsen. We have made contact with Minnesota Duluth, the Bulldogs. And
legendary coach, Bob Nielsen.
Well, legendary. I don't know if you call him legendary because he's not that old. But in 07, Minnesota Duluth, 4-6. 08, 15-0 national champion. Turning a 4-6 program or team around into a 15-0 program. Only three teams ever in Division II history have been 15-0 national champions.
Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox. Eric, our poor Iowa fan. Boy, he sure has been quiet for a couple weeks, hasn't he, Tony?
Yes.
The fourth quarter comeback the Huskers had sounds like a lot of Hawkeye games this season. Still proud of the Hawks and played Ohio State till the end. Just came up a field goal short. Maybe we'll see a Husker-Hawkeye bowl, but sure we will beat Minnesota. And rumor is the Fiesta Bowl versus Boise State. You're not going to the BCS, Iowa. Eric, sorry. You're not going to the BCS. Wow. But again, I had a feeling that they could give Ohio State all they wanted, but then when they got the new quarter, who knows. Joe and Carney says, now while I'm glad who I had to just throw under the bus yesterday for throwing me under the bus on Friday, so the bus has a lot of people under it right now. Now while I'm glad that the Huskers found a way to win and were able to put some points on the board, let me give a little perspective before Doug starts praising Sean Watson and our offense. Not praising Sean Watson. At any point yesterday did I say that? At any point Friday when I made my prediction did I say that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, it's a lot easier. Again, people, you just can't get it through your head, Joe, that when Roy Helu can run the ball and Niles Paul can catch the ball, Sean Watson looks a little bit smarter than he did against Iowa State. Danny?
I think you're absolutely correct on that.
Okay, here's what he's got. Praising Sean, he says, one, Nebraska simply got outplayed Saturday, and it was weird to see the other team make mistakes to lose the game. No,
Nebraska made some plays to win some games, too.
Yeah, Nebraska did not get outplayed. It's just that the defense didn't play that it's national championship game that it had for the last month. They didn't get outplayed. They actually got scored on. Okay, number two, he says, that is a completely different game if we don't get that face mask penalty to give us a first down when it was an obvious our screen was blown up and Henry would have had a tough field goal, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? If he doesn't grab him by the face mask, maybe he doesn't get tackled, Joe, because he was the only one there. Three, I read an article, well, you got to start there, that said Tom Osborne gave Watson some old game film about the old offense and what they used to do. Weird to see that our power running game came back to life after that. Amazing when we established the run, what a play action out of the I formation can do for our passing game and the tight ends. Thanks, T.O., Joe, and Carl.
I say amen to that. Those tight ends were 5-6 yards exactly like the good old days running wide open.
Oh, when they ran.
Wow.
When they ran the fake option, and then the quarterback, you know, he takes the two or three steps and then pulls straight back, Turner Gill style. Oh, when I saw our little quarterback, Zach Lee, do that, I had a moment. I was pretty excited.
Yeah.
Eric Mangenius is a genius. I should know he hired me as an assistant. Regards, Bill Callisham.
Wow.
Thanks, Greg.
For the play calling last night and the coaching last night.
Unbelievable.
Freaking idiot.
Let's go to Adam and Holdridge. Moving to the Husker game, is it just me or is it the last couple of years has Mark Mangino gone from being one of the biggest coaches in college football to simply the largest? I liked what I saw at the end of the game. Line it up, mash it down their throat. Why don't we do this more often? And lastly, did anyone else see how Helu was favoring his arm after that touchdown? Unfortunately, it seems that he's going to have to play hurt the rest of the year. But a 70% Helu is far better than anything else we currently have. And then he went on to bash the hoodie and his going for fourth down and two. But I don't care.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Bo Pelini is just minutes away from starting his weekly press conference. Back with more after this.
Troy Polamalu, Bob Bach here from Sports Notes. Can I have a minute?
Hold on. Let me take my helmet off.
Oh, my. Troy, your hair.
Well, Bob, since you asked, I use Head & Shoulders. It's for more than just dandruff.
Troy, I wasn't asking about
your hair. In fact, Head & Shoulders does seven great things for my scalp and hair.
Actually, Troy, I'd really prefer to just talk about the game.
Would you?
Yes.
Would you?
No.
Head & Shoulders, seven benefits in one bottle. Respect the scalp, get the hair. Official shampoo of the NFL.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Stop harmful spam and virus intrusions.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is an integrated hardware and software solution that processes and filters out bad email before it enters your network. With no per-user fees and automatic updates, the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is the most cost-effective solution for protecting your network from email-borne threats. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or visit Barracuda.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA-eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Sunshine develops across the area through the day today with a high temperature of around 50. Winds will stay to the north-northwest at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Skies remain clear tonight with a low around 22. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 41.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we get ready for winter sports season. Bisco Sports on the brinks of the downtown. Kearney is there for you. Just a handful of football teams still playing. Winter basketball, winter wrestling. Conditionings began last week. Practice began yesterday. If you went to practice and you went, man, maybe I don't have everything I need for practice. Well, Misco's has it, from shoes to gear to shorts, T-shirts, to the bags you need to put all your gear in. Take it to the locker and take it home and get it all cleaned up. That's what you've got. Misco Sports has the basketballs. They've got the headgear and the knee pads and the singlets by ASICS, Mattman, and Brute for wrestling. Travel gear with uniforms, warm-ups, and practice gear for basketball. Of course, name brands like Nike, Adidas, and A4 as well. And it's still kind of cool out there, so it's not going to get any warmer sooner, right?
No.
You're getting ready to go to the state football playoffs, set out there at Memorial Stadium. Maybe you're going Saturday to the K-State game. Get your Husker gear. Get your favorite college and NFL hoodies from Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center.
Tuesday Troutman's Trivia coming up shortly. We're waiting for Bo Pelini to take his normal stage on Tuesday. I think it's going to be a Big 12 bevy coming at you.
Is Sue still talking, Derek?
No, he just left, so Bo should be coming up here shortly.
Okay, should we do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia on the air?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we've got some. We're going to give you, you've got one?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to give them a choice when they call 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you have not won in the last 2 months, that's always the rule. You've got a chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. And, of course, with Thanksgiving coming up, maybe you order a ham, maybe get some prime rib, maybe get your turkey. And ready to go.
A turducken.
Oh, God.
It's a season for turducken.
We need Adam Sandler. It's in there. Gobble, gobble, gook. Gobble, gobble, gickle.
I wish turkey only cost a nickel. One of the greatest lines in the history of the world.
All right, although Troutman's turkeys are very good, don't go to Troutman's to get a turkey. Pick up a prime rib.
You like prime rib better than turkey.
Turkey sucks.
Shut his microphone off. I should have booted your butt out at Maywood when I had the chance.
Hey, Tony, why don't you run in and get a soda?
You know what? If you're going to be thankful for something, don't eat a bird. Eat a piece of meat you can love.
So what are you out goose hunting for? Waster.
Sport.
Waster. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Who's up first today?
John from Kearney.
John, all right, here we go. Daddy, we've got football. We've got volleyball. What else do we have today? You've got a football question. I know that because that's all you ever have over there. John, you want football or you want volleyball?
Football.
Okay, Daddy.
Okay, Kansas State has liked to throw it around the yard a little bit. This quarterback at Kansas State had the most attempts ever in a game that was 61.
Hello?
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 Yes.
What was the question? I didn't hear the question.
This quarterback at Kansas State has attempted the most passes in a game at 61.
I'd say L. Roberson.
This is incorrect. Incorrect. L is fifth on the list with 51.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Steve.
Steve, you want football or you want volleyball?
Let's go football.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You got a different one?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This Kansas State quarterback threw for the most yards in a game. Who is that quarterback?
I'm going to say Freeman.
Ah, that's incorrect. But an excellent guess. Freeman, number two on that list.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
This is James.
James, you want football or you want volleyball?
Give me the volleyball, Doug.
All right, James, here you go. Columbus SCOTUS has won four of the last five Class C1 state volleyball championships. Who was the team that won when they didn't?
I have no clue.
Oh, see, I high schooled you, and you probably thought it was college, didn't you?
I did.
You want to take
a
guess?
I still owe Daddy an apology.
Uh-oh, you want to apologize on the air to him?
Not really.
All right, but did you want to take a guess?
No, I don't.
Okay, thanks for the call. 888-455-ESPN.
Can't hurt to guess. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I know. It wasn't Kimball. He guessed Kimball. I heard that when we hung up. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Sean.
Sean, you want football or you want volleyball?
I'll take volleyball.
Ooh, Sean's going to go volleyball. I like that. Let's see. What should we do? Should I ask him the same one or should I ask him a different one, Tony?
Mix her up.
All right, let's go to class. This is still going to be high school volleyball. We're going to go to Class B. Lincoln Pius X and Omaha Groves have won the last five Class B state championships. Who was the last team not named Omaha Groves or Lincoln Pius X to win a state Class B title?
Holy cow.
Lexington?
Grand Island Northwest.
Oh, an excellent guess, but wrong. Sorry. See, and now as he hangs up the phone, he will swear out loud. That's exactly what we'll do. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who we have?
This is Brent on I-80.
Uh-oh, on I-80. Where are you heading?
I'm heading to Underwood, Iowa.
What's in Underwood?
That's where I meet my truck. I meet man, and we switch trailers, and I come back.
That sounds like a heck of a deal. All right, you want football or you want volleyball?
I want that first volleyball question.
I'll bet you do. So would you like football or would you like volleyball?
Let's go football.
Daddy, you got one?
I've got one. A new question for you, Brent. This quarterback threw for the most touchdowns in one season in Kansas State history.
Wow, I don't know. Bishop?
Bishop is second, one behind this quarterback. Excellent guess.
You're such a tool, Daddy. 888-455-ESPN, waiting for Bo Pelini. Let's go back to the phone lines. Football or volleyball?
Try football.
All right, Daddy, repeat one of your questions.
Okay, this quarterback attempted more passes in K-State history than any other quarterback.
Oh, shoot, you would have to ask that one. Well, let's just go Freeman.
No, Freeman is third on that list.
Okay. All right, Bo Pelini is coming up. We'll do more Troutmans after Bo Pelini.
Eight of seniors in their fifth year, and they've been through a lot. They've gone through a lot. They obviously went through a coaching change, and they've persevered. I think they've represented this program well. I mean, how many of them, I believe, number of them, I think at least four of these guys started as walk-ons, and so they all kind of have their own story. They've all been through a lot, and they've persevered, and I think they've done a great job of leading this football team this year. And you know, like I said, we want to send them out winners.
One of the smaller senior classes that you've ever seen in your years in football?
No, I've been around that before. One of those years, I believe I was at LSU, we had, I think, I want to say 11 or something like that. But I kind of remember that for some reason. But it's always different, you know, just especially now these years of with red shirting and guys going out to the pros early at times and things. Sometimes your classes get unbalanced you don't like that to happen, but it just happens in the program sometimes.
Now that his career is starting to wind down, where does Ndamukong Suh, I mean, you've coached a lot of great guys, where does he, I guess, rank among all the guys you've coached?
Well, I don't like to compare guys, but it's obvious he's, you know, how much he's developed and how good a football player he's become. And I think in the last 2 years he's come a long way, and he's had a special career here. And if he finishes out the season the way I think he'll finish it out, he could be a highly, highly decorated senior if things fall the way I think they will.
Coach, Vic Sue was in here earlier. He said the turning point in his college career was when you and your brother came here. What did you do to make him such a better player?
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of, we coach him the way we coach everybody else in a very black and white manner, and stress technique and fundamentals and getting better each and every day and showing, you know, willingness to point out that how much farther you can go and what you can become. You know, you can't have a false sense of what you are. And we got here. I think he's come a long way since we've been here, and to his credit, he bought in. He's worked as hard as any guy I've been around, and he sacrificed, and it's paying dividends for him. And you know, I give him a lot of credit. You know, I believe when I got here, I believe he was testing the waters to see whether he should come out or shouldn't come out, even his first year there. And he wasn't ready at that time, and he decided to come back again the second time, and obviously it's paid off for him.
He's gone a couple of weeks without a tackle behind the line, but still, I'm sure he's been a big impact nonetheless. Could you kind of shed some light on maybe the ways he's been an impact, even though it may not show up on the stat sheet?
Well, it's not about stats. And I mean, he's played pretty phenomenal. They hear a lot of people. I mean, they give him great respect and how they treat him and the different ways they choose to block him and both run and pass, and he's played really good, you know. And I told him, you know, I said, you know, you can put so much pressure on yourself that you could drive yourself crazy, and that's something he's got to fight, is not trying to get outside of who he is. You know, he thinks he should make plays no matter how many guys are on him, and he has, for the most part. He's made the plays, and he's played really consistently in how what we've asked him to do. It's just, you know, it's been a tough road to hoe for him. I mean, it's, you know, with, you know, especially this last week. I mean, he can get frustrated. And I think I sensed a little bit of frustration on him after the game because he didn't feel like he played well. But when you look at the film, he played well.
What did Kansas do? Did they put him creative?
No, they did. I mean, they double-teamed him. Sometimes they even had to back-chip him. Did a number of different things, you know, which showed great respect. Plus, you know, I mean, our defensive line's playing well enough that, you know, you see the quarterbacks aren't holding the ball a real long time. And that can be difficult on them. And you got to make your plays when you have your opportunities. And, you know, sometimes your opportunities are going to be more than others. And a lot of that depends on the style of offense and the style of game plan people have against you.
Does Kansas State's style of offense maybe play into him being set up to kind of step into the spotlight again this week?
Possibly. You know, I mean, they're going to be more, he's going to get double, just by the nature of their running game, he's going to see some double teams and some gap schemes and things like that. And You know, what his stat sheet is at the end, I don't know. But they're a little more balanced run pass, and you know, I'd say they're a run oriented offense. But they still throw the ball some, so he'll have his opportunities.
Well, it's hard to pick out two guys that are big leaders on this team, but how do you put in perspective Sue and Jake Hickman's leadership?
Well, I think they've done a great job, and they've both been leaders, and I look at that group as a whole, and some of the underclassmen. You know, I think there is it's kind of a common culture what's going on here from the older guys to the young guys, and it's been good to see. There's been good leadership. You know, they're not your, it's not a lot of rah-rah guys in that group, in that senior group, but they are guys that, you know, for the most part, do things the right way, and they've practiced hard, and I think the young guys, it'll make us better for years to come if our young guys follow suit.
What do you mean by common culture? What do you refer to?
Well, I just think that, I feel like the way we go about things and the approach we take day to day and the things that we stress as a football program is starting to take greater hold throughout the whole program. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think we continue to get better regardless of the circumstances and things is, you know, there's not a, it's a very tight knit group. I think everybody, it's a pretty common team first theme, and that's a great thing to say.
Is there, along those lines, you finished strong last year, you're finishing strong at this point, is there any common thread that you see between last year and this year, or threads?
No, I mean, every year's different, it's every group of guys you have is different, but I mean, I think part of that is you look at the conditioning of the guys, and as you get that, you know, longer into a year, you know, people are going to have aches and pains. You're going to be more tired. It's going to be harder to go out there every single day. And I think a bit of that is mental toughness. I think we've gotten mentally tougher as a football program, and hopefully that'll continue because. You know, we got a number of challenges laying out there ahead of us yet.
The things you stress is that hard work.
Hard work, mental toughness, focus, staying, you know, every single day, competing every day and getting better each and every day. And that's hard to do. It's hard to, you know, everybody, you know, wants to talk about getting your team up for Saturday. You know, the biggest challenge is getting your team up for every day to practice and to get better every day. And because you can't waste an opportunity and to get better, and that's probably the biggest challenge you have as a football coach and as a football staff is how do you get your team to respond every single day, regardless of all the things, all the distractions, all the things that they're faced with on a day-to-day basis. That when they walk in and walk onto the practice field, they zero in and are ready to get after it every day and get better. And it's a tremendous challenge because that's the only way to me. You know, the emotional aspect of it, yeah, you deal with that later in the week. You deal with it with the themes of the week and all those things. But as far as being able to bring emotion and focus and attitude to the practice field every day, it's not an easy job to accomplish with a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old guys. You know, I mean, because everybody wants to go out there and compete every day. But to have the mental toughness and the focus to overcome human nature on a daily basis and say, I can get through this day. I'll be okay on Saturday. You know, that's the thing you got to fight every day.
That way you rely on your senior men, right? Leaders, I guess.
Yeah, you rely on it. And you got to find different ways to do it as a coach. As a coach and the players, you got to draw on players at times. You got to draw on the rest of the staff. We as a staff got to be cognizant of it all the time. And you want to do it in such a way that you also don't wear your team out, you know, mentally and physically. You know, there's some give and take in it, but you have to find a way to challenge them every single day, but not overdo it at the same time.
Well, when you started here last year, would you, if you're in retrospect, would you thought that you'd be in position in year two to be a win away from the Big 12 title game?
Yeah, I thought that we had, I was disappointed last year that we weren't in that position, and I don't really think about it long term, Eric. I really don't. I don't think of you know, I just believe this. I believe in my heart that if we do what we need to do on a daily basis, it puts you in position to have these opportunities. And all we've done right now is put ourselves in a position to have this opportunity. Now it's up to what we do with it. And, you know, being in this position won't do us any good if we go out there and lay an egg on Saturday. We got to go out there and play good football. We need to get better this week. And, you know, I still believe we have not played our best football yet across the board. And I think that's the great thing about it. Where we are, I think there's still so much more out there for our football team.
In building this program back up, I mean, I know as a coach you set goals for your team. How much of the benchmark was playing in or winning the Big 12 title game for you?
I haven't really, like I said, I always believe that those things will happen. They'll come as you earn them. But I choose to focus on the day-to-day process that's going to get us to that position. And you know, I'll look back on it maybe when the season's over if we're able to accomplish this that goal and maybe have some satisfaction in it. But right now, all I'm concerned with is Kansas State and getting and doing what we need to do today to get there.
Can the success or failure of an entire season hinge on one game?
In believe me, in the fans' mind and the media's mind, I'm sure it will. I sure can and possibly will, but. You know, that isn't quite the way I look at it. And either way, like I don't get too high or too low depending on what happens. You know, the success or failure of the season is going to be on a full body of work, and that's not quite done yet. So
help is the right word, but your rebuilding project here, has it been assisted by, you know, the fact that the North Division is in a down period right now?
I don't know about that. I don't know what it was like before I got here, and you know, you just play the teams that they put out in front of you and try and get better every week, and that's about all I can do. You know, I want to take the football team that we have and make them better each and every week.
And Coach, so what's it like this week of playing in a Big 12 semifinal game of sorts?
Just the next game on the schedule. And against the opponent that we have respect for, we know they're going to be well prepared and ready to play. And we got to be up to the challenge. And like I said, I want to improve this week and become a better football team.
What are your thoughts?
Just how your offense has kind of changed over to a different look the last couple of weeks. And what do you like about what they've shown over that period?
Well, I like the balance that we've had the last couple of weeks. Being able to run the football, we've put up some numbers on the ground. And I thought last week we threw the football well at times. I thought we challenged some people down the field and made some plays. I just think it's hard. You know, you become a better offense when you have that kind of balance. And that's one of the things that we've lacked consistency on is having balance in our offense. And that's okay. Go ahead.
The strength of last year's team is very different than the strength of this year's team. At this point in the season, is this team better? Was last year's team better? How do you put those two in perspective?
Well, you know, it's a different dynamic, I guess. You had to win different ways. You had to, you know, we had different personnel. We had the experience aspect of it was tilted the other way, to more towards the offensive side than the defensive side. And it's one of the things you got to do is you got to figure out a way to win, and you know how to play to your strengths. And I think we've done that. For the most part, I think we've adjusted pretty well, you know, personnel wise and. We've been perfect. No, I think we've learned some things along the way, but I think slowly but surely we've developed an identity, and I think that's one of the reasons we've gotten better as this, hopefully as the season's gone on.
Are you satisfied with last year? You clearly got much better in the latter half of the year. Are you as satisfied with the rate of improvement this year, or has it been more steady?
I think it's a little bit been more steady. I think defensively we continue to get better. I don't like the way we consist, you know, for four quarters, how we executed on defense the other day. But I think for the most part, we've gotten better. Offensively, I think we've slowly but surely developed a little more of an identity, and I think we've gotten better the last few weeks on offense. I like some of the things we're doing. I like the way we're progressing. I think special teams-wise, we're a lot better than we were a year ago. On an overall, when you look at the overall picture of what we're doing, and defensively, it's not even close. I didn't think we, you know, at the end of the year, we played some good defensive games, but we were not very good defensively. This year, we're a lot better. And, you know, so I'm never really satisfied with how far we've come. And I think, you know, I guess I'll be able to answer that better after the next couple of weeks to see, you know, see how much further we go. But I think it's been a pretty steady progression, and I think we've gotten better. But, you know, comparatively to last year, I think we had so far to go, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball that, you know, we had to go light years. And this year it wasn't quite as far because I think we started to make – I think we took what we did progress-wise last year and kind of carried it into this year, and we continue to get better on that side of football.
Last year, the offense kind of went through an evolution. Sorry about that. And you had to do it again this year. Do you see that as being a year-to-year thing, or as you get more established in the program, is that not going to happen as much?
I think as you get more established, that'll change, you know, you know, obviously you're always going to have some bit of having to adapt because your personnel is going to change year to year. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while to figure out that personnel, you know, especially when some of your key spots are young or inexperienced and that type of thing. But injuries will always play a part of that. But that's one of the things you got to be ready to adapt as the season goes on. And, you know, I always believe that the coach, you know, having great ideas is fine, but you have to figure out your personnel, and one of the things that make you a good coach is being able to adapt to the personnel and adapt to, you know, varying circumstances. And if you're able to do that, I think you'll be able to have more success long term.
During the course of your career, have you seen a lot of teams make the kind of major adaptations that you guys have made the last 2 years on offense?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. It was pretty interesting. You know, I've seen a number of different ways, and you know, fortunately we have, you know, within our, you know, and you continue to grow together. You know, you know what our identity is. Right now, is that going to be the same in, you know, next year? Probably not, you know, but I'm sure there are going to be some common themes. But, you know, you grow together, you adapt together, you kind of figure out what you have to do in a given circumstances or in a certain program where you think your long-term success lies, and you move in that direction.
In terms of your vision of what you want offensively, Bo, within the last couple of weeks, been closer to it, would you say?
I like balance. And I know to have success here over a long period of time, you have to be able to run the football. And you have to have a physical style running game, and you have to be able to run the football. And there's a number of ways to get that done, but the only way to create balance in your offense is to be able to run the football. And I think when we started running the football and you started making yards on the ground, that's when other things happen for you. When you can't run the football and you become one-dimensional, you're going to have problems. And I think that the games that we've had problems, that was the case. We, you know, we didn't get a consistency in the run game.
As you get into this final stretch, you know, it sounds like you're thinking the offense is in a pretty good place right now. With Zach, it looks like Zach is back in kind of command of the offense. I know you say it's a week-to-week thing, but it appears that way. How important is that for the guys on offense to have that stuff not swirling around anymore?
Well, I think it's important, you know, and believe me, I think our guys on offense have a lot of confidence in Cody, too, and, you know, week to week, I mean, going into last week, I thought we would see you'd see a little more of Cody. It just didn't work that way. It didn't happen that way. I felt like the flow of the game was such that I like what I was seeing from Zach, and why make a switch when you don't need to, and, Now, there were some things that we had prepared for Cody that we thought were there, and just watched it. We didn't go to it, I do think that, you know, I saw a little swagger out of Zach. I saw the old, I saw that swagger. I saw his confidence grow as the game went on and the way the game finished, and we have a lot of confidence in Zach. But let me tell you, you know, when you're, I don't know how old he is, 20, 21 years old, whatever Zach is, and you've had the, you know, the negativity kind of swirling around and the controversy, all those things, that'll affect anybody. So I think that the way the game went and the way he played the other day will really help him as the season finishes out.
Is that the dynamic of being a quarterback in a place like this and learning how to adjust to that pressure and just...
Yeah, it's just part of the, it's part of the deal now. It's just part of the deal at any level, playing quarterback. That, you know, you got to be strong. You got to be mentally tough. You got to be, it's like a relief pitcher. you know, you go out there and somebody hits the, you know, game tying or game winning home run against you. You know, you're gonna get, everyone's gonna point at you. But you got to be strong enough to go out the next time and do your job and fight through that and be mentally tough enough to do that. And you know, obviously, when success breeds confidence. And I think the success he had the other day will breed confidence, hopefully, for the rest of the year.
Were you at all uncertain about how he would respond to, you know, being a starter for 7 games and then not the second two and then coming back?
No, because I think one of the things we've done well is we've communicated all along the way. And those two young men that are playing quarterback are pretty special guys, and that they're very team-first guys, team-oriented guys, and there hasn't been any... even though they both want to be the guy, neither guy, there hasn't been any device, you know, there's nothing that's happened that makes them, you know, there's been no selfish attitude about them. There's been no, pointing the finger, that type of thing, or me first type. It was whatever, it's been the attitude of whatever we need to do to win football games, and that always helps the situation because there really hasn't been any controversy in the locker room or in meeting rooms or anything like that. It's been... hey, let's go win. This is a team. We got to figure out how to win as a football team. That always helps a situation like that.
It's always a guy's little pout when something like that happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have not had any of that. They've looked, you know, and I think Watts has communicated really well throughout the whole process. I've spent some time talking to him, and it takes strong character young men to be able to handle the situation the way they did.
In hindsight, would you have gone to some of this power formation stuff earlier in the year, you know, knowing how it played out?
Possibly. I don't know. We had it in. We didn't run as much of it. Here's all in hindsight. Yeah, you always look at that, you know, that it's been good for us. Yeah, obviously I wish we would have done it, you know, a little bit earlier.
Do you like having Coach Watson down on the sideline? Does that be a permanent thing, do you think?
That's up to him. That wasn't something I pulled him down. I think he thought it was the right thing for him to do, and it's kind of nice having him down there. I mean, I'd probably drive him crazy, but... it's kind of nice having him down there because, you know, it's easy for me to communicate with him really quickly or, you know, ask him, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But I said, as long as, you know, he probably does. He's a smart enough guy. He's coached long enough. He knows when to, how to avoid me and just keep me from driving him crazy.
Do you lose anything by not having him up there? Do you lose anything by
No, because he has really good eyes upstairs. And, you know, I don't think he's felt like... you know, he's missed a beat as far as that's concerned. I mean, you know, our guys on offense really communicate really well. And I think the aspect of it that he likes right now is he gets first face-to-face, first-hand communication. There's no middleman. When he sits down and talks to that quarterback, or he has to get something fixed right there. That's one of the reasons why I went on the sideline as a defensive coordinator was, you know, when there's a problem, it's good to be able to look that guy in the eyes and get it fixed, you know, rather than, You know, sometimes the message can get lost in the translation, and there's a lot of different ways to deliver a message depending on the circumstances. So that can help.
What has Tom Osborne meant the last couple of weeks, kind of assisting you guys with some suggestions on offense?
He's been a real pain in the butt. No, he obviously Coach Osborne. You know, he's you know, he's always going to give, he gives his opinions. He'll give his, he's always very helpful. He's never obviously overbearing. You know, he understands it's, he's a Hall of Fame coach, and anything, any insight he can give is obviously helpful, and always has been, and will continue to be.
Is it like coach to coach talk, or do you feel like you're talking to an AD, or do you just feel like you're talking shop most of the time?
It depends on the subject. Depends whether he's mad at me or likes what I'm doing, or it all depends on the circumstances. Now, there's not a better athletic director in the country that I would want to work for. It's not even close. I mean, he's extremely supportive. You couldn't ask for anything more. From sitting in my seat, you couldn't ask for a better situation as far as having an athletic director like him.
Now that you've been here, a couple of years, I think you said the same thing last year. I mean, did you ever have any thoughts at all that having him looking over your shoulder just because of his credentials?
No, but I look at it as a bonus. I mean, I think it's a great situation for me because, I said it before, but I mean, I don't have all the answers. I'm trying to get better every day. I'm trying to get better every week. But here's a gentleman who's lived it, in so many different ways. Forget about X's and O's. I'm just talking about being in this position and the things that happen, the mistakes you make with the media, the fans, whatever it may be. And just having his insight there and his is a tremendous advantage to me. And he has a unique way of doing things in such a way that he never makes me feel like he makes it real clear to me, hey, it's your job, it's your, you got to run your team the way you got to run it. But if anything, I wish he'd give, he would speak up more. But he just has a, he's not overbearing about anything he does. He really handles it in such a professional manner, in such a, I hate to say this. I mean, I want to make it to sound the right way, but I feel like sometimes, he talks to me the way my father used to talk to me, in that he's extremely supportive, and he's willing to give his opinion and be real black and white and say, hey, I think this is something you need to fix, or I like that you did this, but this is something you should probably think about working on, and that's a great thing to have. And especially from somebody who was in the position, was a head coach for however many years.
Well, can you think of a specific example or suggestion that he's given recently? It's kind of a little bit vague from our standpoint. Are there any specifics or examples you can give?
We talk pretty regularly. I mean, some weeks more than others, depending on his schedule and. Trying to think, there's so many. I mean, I want to get. I mean, every now and then he'll look at the game tape. Some things that wouldn't be, there's always going to be some X's and O's things that he thinks could help situationally. Some things that he thinks that I could have done better. I'll just run some things by him. In this situation, what do you think about? Punting the football or going for it on fourth down, and I mean it is, and the dialogue kind of happens pretty continuously. I talked to him. I mean, just recently I talked to him about how can I do it better with the referees? How can I continue to not let how do I handle this? When you get really frustrated. How did you handle the referees? How did you talk to them? How did you do it so you get your point across, but you make sure you're doing it in the right way. And believe me, all those things are helpful. Because like I said, there are tons of things that is week to week after I walk out of a football game, I feel like, hey, I did this good, but I need to fix X, Y, and Z. I thought that thought some of these things were good. And how to handle my staff, how to handle the, you know, last week, coming off of a game against Oklahoma where our defense played 87 snaps, but I also know we have a lot of improvement to do. What do you think about our practice schedule? What do you think of how much do you, you know, how much is too much, how much is not enough, in your opinion, of what we're facing? You know, all those things, it's just good to have another a sounding board, somebody who's been there and can help you, you know, sort through what you believe the right thing for your football team is.
What advice do they give you for dealing with officials?
Should give them hell.
Surprised Kansas State lost Saturday?
They played a good football team. The things didn't go their way early, and I think Missouri played well. One thing, you got to be ready to play every week, and things didn't go well for them early, and I don't think they ever kind of recovered from it. But I do know this: you look at the history of what Coach Snyder's been able to do, and I think they'll be that much more ready to play this week. And I almost wish they would have won the football game, because I think they'll be hungry. They'll be well prepared. I know we're going to get their best shot. It'll be a good football game and a heck of a challenge for our football team. We have a lot of respect for their team and their coaching staff, and we're going to have our work cut out for us.
How do you handle the decision to kick or not to kick to a kid like Banks?
Well, hopefully the wind is blowing about 60 miles an hour behind us, and Audie can kick it into about the eighth row. But we obviously have a lot of respect for Banks and what he's able to do, and we'll have some things prepared depending on what the weather conditions are and that type of thing.
Do you take anything from last year? Because he took one back last year. Do you take anything from that? Or
I take it that I don't want to see that happen again.
Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini on this week's press conference.
Bartender!
They get ready for Kansas State. And, because it's Tuesday and next week they play on a different time, so we'll have to mess it up a little bit. But a shortened week, by the way, you lucky devils. Only one Doug and Daddy show next week because of state football playoffs and Thanksgiving and then football Friday. So next Wednesday, Dan Hawkins will be with us. Also this week, Bill Snyder is going to join us on the program. It looks like Friday, most likely Thursday or Friday, Coach Snyder will be with us on the program.
Strangest one to date, Doug, of just no question
The guys didn't have anything to talk about. We talked about Tom Osborne for 7 minutes. We talked about Ndamukong Suh for 10 minutes. We talked about last year compared to this year for 5 minutes. Then we got down to, Zach probably establishing himself back as the starting quarterback and no doubt or running the ball a little bit more effectively. Then we talked 5 minutes about Watson being on the sideline. But finally, the last couple questions actually had something to do with Kansas State. But people better not be looking too far ahead here. I think Bo hit it on the head there at the end. K-State will be ready to play this Saturday.
You're absolutely right. I just thought there would be more breakdown of Kansas' team. We've got zero of that. The question about Banks, I thought that would be one of the first three questions. Obviously, a playmaker, not a very big playmaker, all 5'7", about 145 pounds of him. You're going to have to... I think he kicked the ball out of bounds. You get a playmaker like that, don't even risk kicking that ball off to him or punting it to him, at least. Nebraska's done a pretty good job of covering kicks. What they failed at times is covering punts.
Chris and Carney says, I wish somebody would have asked him what he said to Barney Cotton.
That was a spirited conversation.
Oops. Hey, we didn't get our Troutman's Tuesday trivia given away beforehand. My two volleyball questions, of course, the easy one is Columbus Scotus had won 5 of the last 6. Who had won the other one? Of course, that was Ord. The last Class B school not to win Lincoln Pius X or Omaha Gross was named Elkhorn in 2004. You had a whole bunch of quarterback questions from Kansas State.
Well, the person that attempted the most
passes. By the way, call now while Tony's giving his answers. We're doing Troutman's. We're taking a break. Then we're going to wrap the show up. So if you haven't won yet, we've got new questions. And it's been tough, so we're going to throw a couple softballs out there. But your questions were?
Well, the person that's attempted the most passes, 61 in K-State history, you go back a ways, but it's Lynn Dickey, played with the Green Bay Packers. I didn't think a household name from the past. The other people, completions in one game, Josh Freeman, Oklahoma State, 51. In a season, touchdowns in a season, L. Roberson, 24, one ahead of Michael Bishop. Touchdowns in a game, I don't think I asked that touchdown in the game.
I don't think you asked most of those. Yardage in a game was Chad May against Nebraska, 489, and then you had attempts, didn't you?
Yeah, Lynn Dickey.
Lynn Dickey, and yeah, okay, well, there you go. Hopefully that covered most of them. Who we got on the phone line?
It's Jason.
Jason, okay, I'm just tired. I want to give away $25 to Troutman's. Would you like to win it? This is about as easy as it's ever going to get on this program. We've talked a lot about Kansas State. Let's talk about Nebraska. Who leads the Huskers in tackles this season?
Crick.
Oh, out of way! We were ready to joke you. We were punking you because we figured Sue would be the guest and then we'd make fun of you. But you, sir, are one intelligent human being. A $25 gift card coming your way. Hey, hold on the line and Derek will get your information. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we'll take a break and wrap the show up after this.
ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center is giving you an opportunity to save up to $600 on Resound hearing aids during a special event November 18th and 19th. A representative from Resound will be on hand for demonstrations and free consultations. During this special event, you can save up to $600 on Resound hearing aids. ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, 615 West 39th Street. Call today, 308-865-2277.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Fidelity Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Daddy, anything specific, though, that you did pull down from Bo Pelini today?
Well, I always think it's interesting, the 7 minutes. I didn't need 7 minutes of it, but what Tom Osborne, how he goes about delivering his message, because he, obviously Tom Osborne, not one of those guys that beat on somebody's door and just kind of force it on you. He does it, I'm sure, in a very subtle way. That's interesting to me. The rest of it, I would like to hear more about Kansas State and how are we going to shut that running game down, obviously, when we had trouble getting pressure with the front four last week.
Well, Steve Simple talked about it. We will definitely be asking Bill Schneider about that when he joins us later in the week. A couple of other sports notes before we get out of here. It's official, Larry Johnson signing with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, good.
They did that with Cedric Benson last year, and look how it's turned out. Benson gets hurt. This is an insurance policy. Do you think Larry Johnson will take? We'll play a little PTI here. One snap above or below that this season with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Larry, oh, it'll be above that. Yeah, down the stretch, there's a Bengal team on the roll. They're going to give Benson some rest.
Here's a story that may get swept under the rug a little bit, but shouldn't. The BCS has actually hired its first executive director. So you won't be talking to conference commissioners and all that anymore. Bill Hancock is going to take that over. He will replace the BCS, what's called the coordinator. John Swofford's two-year term as coordinator will end January 7th. They've been taking ahead of a conference to do that. Good move, I think.
you know what? It's nice to have one person represent the deal so you don't have any mixed views out there. I think sometimes maybe somebody would allude to a playoff, you know, in the tiniest bit of way, and that all get construed as one was coming when never in one tenth of a millionth of a possibility has a BCS ever thought about a playoff.
Also, state football continues today with Class C this afternoon. Cambridge heading up to Hardington Cedar Catholic at 3 o'clock kickoff. That's in C2. In C1, a battle of unbeatens. Hastings St. Cecilia at Broken Bow, 6 o'clock kickoff. You can hear it on 1230 AM KHAS. Last night, Nate Most just does it again. They jump out 28-0. He has a state playoff record, 8 touchdown passes. Giltner avenges their only loss of the season over Palmer, 64-36. They play Howells, who blasted unbeaten Johnson Brock 48-6. Tony, we've talked to Coach Aspey, we've seen a lot of the player, or, you know, we've heard and listened to a lot of the games. Is Giltner just going to be the next thing along the road here against Howells?
No, they're not. This is a different Giltner team.
Giltner will give Howells, here, I'll ask you this. Giltner will give Howells their best game in the state finals ever.
I'll say this, Giltner wins. They take care of that running game. They're big across the front. Howells doesn't sign anything like Giltner.
I hope you're right. Hayes Center and Humphrey St. Francis advancing. Hayes Center beating Pleasanton yesterday, who just the turnover bug bit him, and you would rather have that happen in week 3, but it happened in week 12, so you got that far. And Hayes Center will play Humphrey St. Francis first final and next Monday morning, 10:15. You'll hear them all right here on ESPN Radio. And speaking of Howells, Coach Mike Spears named the head coach of the Shrine Bowl, along with Kevin Cush of Boys Town, and among the assistant coaches, Darren Hatch of Arapahoe and Scott Porter of Blue Hill. So congratulations. The Shrine Bowl will be played on a very special day, June 19th, at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. That can't be right. Is that right?
And moving it up to get away from football camps and people that want to go to football.
I'll double check that. I wonder if that's supposed to say July. I'll double check. I hadn't seen that note yet. UNK volleyball fell to 7th in the country after their 27-match winning streak was snapped. Yeah, that's a reason to. UNK will play Minnesota Duluth Thursday, 2:30 in the afternoon will be that match. Billy Butler named the Royals Player of the Year. You okay with that?
Since Zach Greinke was
the pitcher of the year. Zach Greinke, hopefully in about 35 minutes, will be your AL Cy Young Award winner. That will be announced at the top of the hour. Be listening to ESPN Radio for more information on that. I hope we got to everything we wanted to get to today. We want to thank Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star for joining us today. Tomorrow, Daddy, who are we talking to?
Hey, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we look forward to hopefully Kessinger from the Ottawa Braves.
There you go. We'll talk more football tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over! Show.